Luke chapter 18. I want to bring a message with this thought and title in mind. And if you also can flip with me to Hebrews 11, we'll be looking there here in just a little bit. But Luke chapter number 18, and then we'll also be going over to Hebrews 11 quite a bit this morning. Luke chapter 18 and then Hebrews chapter number 11. I want to bring a message with this thought and title in mind today. Can Christ find what He's looking for in my life? Can Christ find what He's looking for in my life? Notice again verse number 8 of our text where the Bible reads, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, notice the question that He asked. Shall He find, what's that next word? Faith. Shall He find faith on the earth? Father, please bless this morning in our time of preaching. I pray You'd please bless You as the Word is preached, the Word of God is preached, that Your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. Father, I pray especially if there is anyone here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and most importantly through the working and influence of the Holy Spirit, that these individuals or this individual would put their faith and trust in Christ and Him alone for salvation. We pray blessed during this time of preaching, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Of course, Luke chapter 18, the verse we have is Jesus is teaching on prayer. If you look at verse number 1 of chapter number 18, where Jesus is trying to teach His disciples, we as people, we want a pattern or we want an exact format of prayer. What words can we say? You know, what abracadabra words can we say that gets our prayer answered? What abracadabra phrase can we say that gets things from heaven? And Jesus never wanted us to get caught up in the formality of prayer, but more in the relationship that's involved in prayer, more of the heart attitude and the mind attitude that it comes from a believer when it comes to approaching Him in prayer. That's why in verse number 1 of chapter number 18, the Bible reads, and He spake a parable unto them, talking to His disciples to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now the idea of praying is seeking God and seeking His will, seeking His wisdom, certainly seeking His provision, seeking His hand, seeking His favor. Prayer is asking, where we go to God and ask Him for whatever it is that we need. And not to faint's the idea of not losing heart and not losing patience, not losing hope, not giving up. In other words, keeping the faith. And He gives a parable of the lady that wanted to have herself avenged of her adversary. And He gives the idea of her going to an unjust judge who did not have any fear of God at all in his heart. But she goes to him and keeps going to him and keeps going to him and saying, avenge me my adversary, avenge me my adversary. And she will not take no for an answer because she knows this man has the authority to avenge her of her adversary. She knows this man, if he will take action, can take action, and no one can stop him. This man has the authority. He has the ability. It's a matter, will he do it? And so he gives the illustration of an unjust judge that after a while gets tired of this woman coming to him and wearing him out with her words and her emotions. And finally, he says, all right, I'll avenge you of your adversary. But it has nothing to do with the fact he's a good man. It has nothing to do with that he cares for true justice. It's the fact that she has come to him one too many times, and he has the idea she's not going to take no for an answer. I might as well give her what she wants. Now, of course, we know that our God is not unjust. And we know that our God does care for justice and our God does care for what happens. But he's using that as an illustration that God does have the authority to make a difference in any area of our lives. And God does have the ability to care for anything in our lives. God has the authority. God has the ability. But it doesn't always come when we ask for it right away. And it's not always an instantaneous working in us or around us. But God wants us to have enough faith and enough confidence in Him to go to Him and go to Him and go to Him. And the Bible says in verse number 7, and shall not God judge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him? And that takes a lot of faith, to be willing to cry to God day and night and day and night, even though something may not be coming to pass yet, and we're still seeking the Lord's face. But we have faith in Him. We have faith in His love for us. We have faith in His ability to do what only God can do, though He bear long with them. See, we never wear God out. God never tires of us. You're never going to go one too many times where He says, you know what? Why won't you take no for an answer? Now, God, like He told Paul, tells you no like that, then we'll take no for an answer. But until then, we have to have enough faith to keep trusting the Lord. And He goes on to say in verse 8, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, now a connection with this type of faith, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? The Bible believer needs to take note of the things that God takes note of. Whenever God is marvels at something, or whenever God kind of says wow to anything, we ought to take note of that. Anytime God pauses and takes note or singles something out and begins to talk about it, that ought to be something that we do the same thing. True faith, as we read the New Testament and read all throughout the Old Testament even, is something that catches our Savior's attention like very few things can. Now before we get to Hebrews 11, let me just read a couple verses to you. Matthew chapter 15 verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, oh, this is talking about the Syrophoenician woman who would not take no for an answer. He said, oh woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Matthew chapter number 8 verse number 10, the Roman soldier who had authority over other soldiers underneath him, he had someone that in his household he was asking Jesus to pray for. And if you remember, Jesus was going to go there in body, and he said, you don't have to even do that, because I'm also a man under authority. Just give the command, and what you say is going to happen just because you're the one that says it. Amen. When Jesus heard it, he marveled at this man. Amen. And he said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And now as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5, one of the two people had never tasted death. One of the two people that were translated, and wouldn't you, you know, part of me kind of hopes that we also will be like Enoch and Elijah, amen, that the rapture will come and he'll come for us where we won't have to taste death either. We know it's going to happen at some point in time. But here we have someone that God identifies in a very special way. The Bible says in verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Now notice the testimony that God gives to Enoch. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a wonderful testimony to have that we please the Lord. But verse number 6, don't separate it from verse number 5. Verse number 6 goes on and continues the thought, how did Enoch please God? Look at verse 6. But without faith it is what? So how did he please him? By faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Just like true faith gets God's attention, there are times where a great lack of faith also got God's attention, but in a different way. Mark chapter 6, verse 6, when he went back to his hometown in Nazareth, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. See, the men and women in the Bible that were greatly used of God all had one thing in common. They were men and women of great faith. They weren't necessarily men and women of great talent. They weren't necessarily men and women of great ability or great intellectual skills. They weren't necessarily men and women of great pedigree. They weren't necessarily men and women that you and I would pick out and say, that person is going to be used of God in a special way. That person is going to be used of God to change folks around them and lead many to Christ. But these were people that, in Christ's estimation, in God's estimation, were people of great faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have a whole list of people. If you notice in verse number 4, notice there's a theme here. Verse number 4, by faith Abel. In verse number 5, would you read the first three words with me together as a church? By faith Enoch. Let's jump down to verse number 7. By faith Noah. All right, let's all jump in this together. Just get that idea, this theme. I know you all are hooked on phonics and you can read with me this morning. Verse number 8, let's read it together. By faith Abraham. And let's move on down to verse number 11, there's more than three words there. I'm testing us intellectually this morning. Let's read the first four words of that verse. Through faith also Sarah. And look at verse number 17, by faith Abraham. Verse number 20, by faith Isaac. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith Joseph. Verse 23, by faith Moses. All right, you get the idea. Now these are people that were greatly used of the Lord to make a difference for the kingdom of heaven. And it wasn't because of their abilities or their talents or where they were raised, how they were raised. These were not all perfect people. These were not people that were spotless and that did not have skeletons, so to speak, in their closets. Some of these people came out of backgrounds that or did things that they were maybe not proud of at one point in time in their life, i.e. Moses, and he was someone that would have that testimony. But these were people that God used because they were men and women of great faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, let's look at that verse real quickly. Between the verses that we read in this verse are a whole list of other people that God used in a marvelous way. And notice again the testimony they had in verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report, what's the next two words? Through faith. All believers will ultimately, and please get this statement, all believers will ultimately be defined and judged by how much of our lives will be able to be directly attributed to faith. Let me say that again. All believers will ultimately be defined and judged by how much of our lives will be able to be directly attributed to faith. Not that we did in the flesh, that we did by our own ability and talents and skills. Not that these don't play a role. God will use these to His honor and glory. But the things that we can point to and say with a humble heart and with great gratitude, that is a direct result of God working in my life. How did that happen? It was God. Faith. Where we know your marriage is what it is today because God blessed your marriage through faith. If our children have a heart for God and are saved, we don't take credit for that. We say, God, thank you for doing that. We attribute it to the Lord and we understand it was by faith. The fact that you and I can have a mind that loves the Bible and loves God and if we've grown spiritually, we know that's by faith. Our job should be able to say, I got that job by faith. I got that house by faith. I got that car by faith. I have what I have by faith. It's not just my wisdom and my own ability, but by trusting the Lord and following the Lord and His wisdom and guidance in my life and God providing and His favor and all that has happened was not me and on my own and me making those decisions, but by faith, by the grace of God, as Paul said, I am what I am. Now I want to give us a few things this morning when it comes to faith, when it comes to what the Bible calls faith that is important to us for Christ to find what He's looking for in our lives. You know what He's looking for in your life this morning? He's looking for faith. Faith is knowing, number one. Faith is knowing. Look at verse number 6 again of chapter number 11. Faith is knowing. Faith is knowing. But without faith, what does the Bible say? It is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. We must know that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 12 and 13, here's what Paul said. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And he goes on to say, because he knows who he believes, he is persuaded, he can't be shaken from it. He has a no-so faith, not a might-so faith or a leaning towards so faith, but a no-so faith. He said, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. You know what happens sometimes? And I'm going to just give us a list of things that we already know we should believe. But what happens sometimes? The devil wants to create doubt in our minds. He wants to shake our faith off the confidence of things that we should know. There are certain things that should never be doubted. There are certain things that should never be up for grabs in our hearts and minds. To have true biblical faith, it has to start with what we know. Number one, I want to say this morning, and I believe you're going to agree with this wholeheartedly, you wouldn't be here, I know that there's a God. Amen. You know, who'd ever thought we have to live in a day and time where you would even have to say that. But I know, I don't think and I don't hope, but I know there is a God. Hey, did you hear about the evangelical atheist? Did you hear about him? This atheist who was evangelical was trying to go around and to proselytize in his atheism. He went about with a large book filled with blank pages. Amen. There's nothing he has to show them to convert them over to atheism. Or did you hear that didn't go over very well? Well, maybe this will do a little better this morning. What does a dyslexic, agnostic, insomniac do at night? Think about this. A dyslexic, agnostic, insomniac do. He lies awake all night wondering if there is a dog. Now that's a terrible thing, isn't there? That's going to go right over your head. Say, Pastor, let the comedians tell the jokes and you stay to the Word of God. Amen. I catch that this morning. You know, for several centuries, think about this. The foundation, and you go back to the monkey scopes trial. One of the things that one of the most damaging eras of our history was not 1962 and 63 with prayer and Bible reading out of our school. Not even 1973, Roe versus Wade, where we had, you know, the abortion legalized. But back in the early part of the 20th century, down in a little town in Tennessee, where that was called the Monkey Scopes Trial. And that's where there was a biology substitute teacher that was tried, that was arrested rather, for teaching evolution in the school. It was illegal in many school systems around America, in the curriculums and in the classrooms, to teach evolution, to teach that man evolved, from an ape that evolved from this, that evolved from the other, that creation was taught in the school systems. Now, here's what happened. He was set up. The Baltimore Sun, here next door to us, was responsible for much of this. They funded the whole project. It was a setup. This biology teacher, by the way, didn't even teach that. He was arrested on false charges, but they had to have somebody that would be their scapegoat that they knew would get arrested. They wanted to use what they considered to be a hick town that they could go into with Clarence Darrow, their big lawyer, that would, just put on this big show and production, get all this kind of media hype, and they knew the case would, they would lose. They knew they would lose the case in the initial court, the local court in Tennessee, because their plans then were to appeal it to a higher court to get more attention. It was a setup. And there was a movie that was produced shortly after that, which was a complete distortion of what actually took place. But the Monkey Scopes trial has changed the course of American history probably more in what we've seen in the last 200 years, probably more than anything else that's happened in our country. Because it institutionalized the teaching of evolution and the soon excommunication of creationism being taught in our schools. And that led, of course, eventually to the Ten Commandments. You can't have them in the schools. You can't have Bible reading in school. You can't have prayer in school. Separation of what? Church and state. Which, of course, we know is not even constitutionally accurate. Amen. But what we're saying, though, is that there is a God.
Yep.
And we ought not just take that for granted with the next generation. It's important we know this and that they know this, that there is a God. You know, for many years they believed in what was called spontaneous generation, that non-life could produce life. And a guy by the name of Louis Pasteur many years ago disproved that, they believed that maggots were a proof of that. Like if you leave meat and, you know, rotten out, and that dead rotten meat produces life, produces maggots, and they were able to later on determine that though there was other things going on the whole time. But death cannot produce life. You know, to this day and time, scientists do not have they have what they call abiogenesis, I believe is what it's called, where they believe that somehow or another there was a miraculous explosion of some sort that allowed there to be some type of chemical storm or chemical soup that was created that this exploded trillions and trillions of uncreated cells all throughout a self-existing space that was expanding on its own supernaturally, and somehow or another landed on, formed everything that we have, eventually landed on the earth. You see, if evolutionists believe, if you give evolution, or you give whatever their theories are, enough years, and they always require billions and billions and billions of years, and what they call enchanting coincidences, to quote one scientist. So you give them enough time and enough coincidences, anything can happen. One scientist said this. He said, now, we know that spontaneous generation is impossible. He said, this was a Harvard professor. He said, however, here we are. So he said, I have to believe in spontaneous generation. And there's not an agreed, the reason why, because the alternative is what? It's not really, the alternative is what? The alternative is who? If life cannot, if it's unscientific, and it is scientific, by the way, unscientific, life cannot, death cannot produce life, non-life cannot produce life, only life can produce life, and they cannot answer the origin of life, they can't, they are not in agreement on how that happened, and they'll be in disagreement for all eternity, because the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, because the alternative is a creator, the alternative is a designer, the alternative is a personal God, an all-powerful God.
Amen.
Psalm 19 verse 1, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Romans 1:20, the Bible says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. The Bible said, so that they are without excuse. If you look with me, verse number 3 of chapter number 11, notice here in the chapter of faith, right off the bat, in verse number 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. I want to say this morning, I know that there is a God. How do we know that? We know that by faith. I know that he is a personal God by faith. I know that he is an all-powerful God. I know that he is a loving God. And I know that he is the only God. Now, by the way, everybody believes what they believe by faith. Evolutionists have to believe what they believe by faith. Atheists have to believe what they believe by faith. Because somewhere down the line, there's something that they cannot prove. That they have to just assume happened. Assume by what? By faith. I was talking to someone about this, it's been many years ago. And I'm going to get off this trail real quickly. But this is the foundation. That's why we don't want our children being taught.
That's right, preacher.
There is no God. The most important verse in the Bible is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God.
Amen.
When people doubt that, everything else is in play. John 3:16 means nothing to someone that does not believe in God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And so he kept wanting to talk about microevolution, which adaption. That's with information that already exists inside of animals and creation, and they adapt to over time to the surroundings. But I kept wanting to go back to the origin of life. And he said, how come you keep going back to the origin of life? I said, to demonstrate that you have to accept what you believe by faith, just like you're accusing me of. I said, I will proudly tell you, by faith, I believe there's a God. But as I want to hear it out of your mouth, that by faith you believe there is no God. But you have to believe that by faith, because there's so much you assume to be true and you're believing somebody else based upon what they said, but that cannot be proven. It's never been observed. And it can never be reduplicated. I know the Bible is the Word of God. It's something we got to know. I know there is a God. And understand that without faith it is impossible. I know the Bible is the Word of God. Now there's a difference between saying the Bible contains the Word of God, which we know it does, but we need to be able to say today with great confidence that I know the Bible is the Word of God. It doesn't just simply have God's words, it is God's Word that we can trust and believe every word of this Bible, not just the stories and not just the morality and the nice teachings, but every single word which cometh out of the mouth of God. Jesus talked about that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we must trust and believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that God has preserved his inspiration. The Bible is still alive. You know, I do believe this. I believe the Bible is as powerful and relevant today as it was 100 years ago. Do you believe that? I believe the Bible is as powerful and relevant today as it was 200 years ago. I believe the Bible is as relevant and powerful today as it was when it was first given to mankind. The Bible is the Word of God. Back when the schools used to believe that there was a God, they used to let the Gideons go into the schools.
Yeah.
Remember that, some of you? And hand out the Word of God.
Amen.
I know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And I know that Jesus is still saving souls.
Amen.
I know that there is a real heaven and a real hell. I know that God answers prayer. I know that God has a specific will for my life. And these are things, of course, you can say too. I know that God loves me and that he wants to use my life for his honor and glory. I know that God can still send revival from heaven. I'm saying that faith has to come to a point of absolutes where we say, this is not something I hope for, but this is something I know. Can you say that you know there is a God? You'd say yes. Will you say, I know that the Bible is the Word of God? Yes. Will you say that you believe, do you know that Jesus is still saving souls? Will you say yes?
Amen.
You say, I know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. You say yes. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God wants to use you? Do you know that God answers prayer?
Amen.
So we know something. That gives us the second point. It helps us to see things that only God can help us see.
Amen.
So faith is seeing. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. I need to hasten. Because of some things Abraham knew. In verse number 9, by faith, the Bible says he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Notice now, for he looked for a city, the eyes of faith, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Look down, jump down to verse number 13 and give a testimony of the people, these folks that lived a life of faith. Verse number 13, based upon things that they knew. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Jump down, if you will, real quickly to verse number 27 of Hebrews chapter 11. Again, the idea, once we know what we know, we're supposed to know, it helps us to see what God wants us to see. This now is given testimony of Moses. Moses knew that he was a son of the Egyptians. He knew that he was not to continue to serve in the house of Pharaoh. There are things that he knew, and based upon that, Moses made some decisions by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 27, by faith he, talking about Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, please get this next part of the verse, as seeing him who is invisible. See, because of this unwavering confidence in what we know, our spiritual eyes are able to see. Once we get to this point where what we know this by faith. Does this make sense?
Amen.
Then God opens our eyes to be able to see some things. Ephesians 1:18, the Bible says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, faith is being able to see what God is able to do before it even is done. By faith, seeing a prayer answered before it is even answered. This strengthens us to pray fervently by faith, because we can see with the eyes of faith that God is going to answer my prayer. Because I know my God loves me, and I know my God has a will for my life, and I know God wants me to pray, and I know God is still alive, and I know God is real, and I know He works in the affairs of mankind, and I know He's commanding me to pray, and so I know this, and I can see the prayer being answered. I can see God at work. It encourages me to pray fervently. By faith, seeing a soul saved, even before we witness to an individual and present them with the gospel. This motivates us to continue to witness to the lost by faith. Why would the people in a nursing home do what they do? Because they can see these residents trusting Christ as their Savior. Why? Because they know Jesus is the only way to heaven, and they know the gospel still works, and they know the Word of God is true, and they can just see people through the eyes of faith trusting in Christ. We'll run these buses this afternoon. We'll have 40, 50, 60 workers on any given Sunday that'll give up their Sunday afternoon and that nice Sunday nap to be able to go throughout the highways and the hedges and bring in young people by the tens and tens and sometimes by the hundreds here to our church. We'll have maybe 130 to 150 here this afternoon. What happens? These workers by faith can see these children getting saved, and they can see these young people getting their hearts right, and maybe one or two of them, or maybe more of them, coming out of a bad situation. And because they're saved and believe the Bible, now they're gonna be a different type of adult because they got saved, and they know that God loves these children. And they know that God wants them to be saved. So by faith, they can see God saving. And by the way, that's happened, hasn't it? By faith. By faith, seeing God move in hearts and lives even before this actually takes place. This encourages us to continue to keep a faithful Christian testimony as we try to help others grow spiritually. By faith, seeing a work done for God even before the work is even begun. This fortifies our resolve and helps us to be patient as we serve the Lord and try to make a difference for His kingdom. It was by faith Noah saw the ark long before it was ever built. By faith Abraham saw a nation of millions of people following the Lord God Jehovah even before Isaac was born. By faith, David saw the temple of God built even though he would never live to actually see its physical construction. By faith, Nehemiah saw the city walls rebuilt around the city of Jerusalem even while he was serving as a cupbearer to a Persian king. By faith, Paul and the other apostles saw local churches started and hundreds of thousands of souls trusting Christ as their Savior even before they preached in those cities and ever seen the people that would make up these churches. Because they knew what they knew, they could see what God wanted them to see. I remember when I first became pastor of Frederick Baptist Church back in August of 2009. One of the things that I prayed God would help me to do would be able to see what He wants me to see through the eyes of faith. I remember coming to this church and driving around the area, seeing all the different homes, thinking, you know, God, I believe there are a lot of young families here that you're going to reach with this church and can be reached with this ministry. I could see a nursery filled. You know, at the time we had the one nursery. One of my favorite, fastest growing departments in the church is a nursery. Amen. I'm probably the only person in this whole congregation that loves hearing crying babies. That's a good sign. You all don't know this, but I put stuff in the water. So be careful, gentlemen, when you drink the water. You might be a scientific miracle. But I could see a junior church ministry where young people and a kingkin ministry where the kids are being discipled. And I saw areas where there was underprivileged areas. And I remember being able to see in the eyes of faith buses running throughout our county and all the different things that God might be able to do. I remember one time thinking, you know, maybe at some point God would let our church start a school where our families can have an option to be able to have a Christian education where they don't have to worry about their kids hearing there is no God and where the Bible is ripped apart all the time and learn history from a Christian perspective and true science from a biblical perspective. Yeah. And I remember by faith being able to see that and already had the name, God already gave me the name of our mascot, the Patriots. Not that I'm a New England Patriot fan, please don't get that at all, but because of we're close to D.C. and believe in being patriotic and even our motto, wisdom, character, and consecration, and even getting the logo, all that took place before the school was even in existence. And I remember thinking about, boy, I can just walk through the hallways and seeing all these young people running about our school and maybe having a playground, which we finally were able to get this year, and where they can go outside and play and all the children playing. I thought maybe sometime we'll have a sports program and be able to, well, that's a dangerous thing too, isn't it? And being able to cheer our young people on and give them that outlet. It was this past year we had our very first home basketball game. Now, right now I'm the coach. Pray for that. Brother Matt Good, he doesn't know this, but I'm praying for him to become the coach. He's my assistant, and he's more than an assistant. He does a great job helping. And I'm thinking this last year we don't have a gym yet. Our first year of sports, we practiced in a soccer field. We put up goals. Played on artificial turf. You say, why'd you do that? Because by faith, we knew this could keep growing and be a blessing to our families. And I was sitting on the sideline, and I saw a bunch of our fans across the gym. We had our very first ever senior night. It was hard for me not to get emotional. Thinking about what it all took and how this all could come about. And of course we were winning and that made it a lot easier too. By faith. Amen. By faith, can't you see a Spanish ministry?
Yes.
The need to reach this growing pocket of our community.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So many young, they're right up the road from us. There's a large neighborhood of young people that whose parents may not speak any English, so they never come to our church. But if we had a Spanish ministry, a gospel preaching, Bible believing Spanish ministry, well, I believe we could through our ministry here, God could use us to really see a lot of people saved. Can't you just see a deaf ministry to the hearing impaired? In our area, there's a lot of hearing impaired individuals that would be reached for the gospel of Christ if we were able to have a bona fide a deaf church. By faith, can't you see? I can see by faith a bus running into Thurmont, Brother Terry, every single Sunday over in Thurmont, a van running a route to Middletown every Sunday, to Knoxville every Sunday, to Jefferson every Sunday. Can't you just see all these souls that need help in transportation, or folks that would come to church, and young people that the only way they're going to get to church is if we can go get them. Can't you see? I could even see a bus or a van going over the bridge if we would allow West Virginians here to church. Hey, Bolivar is not too far away, and Harper's Ferry is not too far away. I was driving in Bolivar yesterday looking around thinking, you know what? There are a lot of these areas, I believe, and I saw a lot of young people running around. I wonder, do they have a church they go to? I wonder if anybody loves them. I wonder if they're ever hearing the gospel. And I could to see some family going out there and reaching them for the cause of Christ. I could see young families raising their children here at Frederick Baptist Church. Seeing their children saved at young ages and being able to raise them in the fear and nurture of the Lord. Hey, I could see a radio ministry. I have a face designed for radio. Praise the Lord. Hey, radio, you can now go on the internet. And people can access that from all over the world. But to be able to have a radio ministry, a Bible institute to help train and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I can see our land paid off and our future buildings built, allowing us to expand our ministries and ability to reach more souls for Christ. See, when you know what we know about our God is alive. He's not dead. He's not a yesterday God. And the Word of God is still true, and God honors His Word. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the doubters and skeptics of our culture will say. I can't tell you how many times I've been told and keep being told, you can't build a church preaching the way you preach.
Come on, preach.
You can't build a church believing the Bible the way we believe the Bible.
Come on.
That's the same thing as saying that our God is dead.
Right.
Newsflash!
Amen.
God is still alive.
Amen.
Jesus still is saving souls.
Amen.
And this Bible still has power. And we can believe every word. I don't just believe every word. I believe every comma. I believe every semicolon. Man, I'm almost to a point where I believe the index and the maps in the back. No, I'm not quite there. I'm not there. Now, we understand that this takes faith. Faith. It takes faith to build a marriage that's Christ-honoring.
Amen.
It takes faith to raise a family to fear the Lord. It takes faith to have a good testimony at work. It takes faith to be proud of believing the Bible in an hour of such doubt and skepticism. The Bible says where there is no vision, what happens? And my time is up, but faith is not only believing and seeing. Faith is also, or seeing, knowing and seeing, but it's believing and it's also working.
Yeah.
What did James say? You show me your faith without your works. Now this is not talking about saving faith. This is talking about serving faith.
Yeah, right.
The Bible doesn't contradict itself. But I'll show you my faith by my works.
Wow.
See, faith wants to be put into practice, wants to put into practice what it believes. Faith wants to prove and demonstrate the reality of what it believes. Faith, true faith, lives to please Christ in what it thinks, what it believes, and how it lives. Faith wants to work. So faith is knowing, faith is seeing, faith is believing, faith is working. Our Savior asked a question about whether or not He would find faith on the earth at the time of His second coming. Would there still be a remnant of believers that have the kind of faith He's looking for? That kind of faith. Not just a faith, as long as you have faith, but have a faith that knows that God is real, that knows some things, that sees some things that God wants them to see, that believes what we're supposed to believe according to the, not the words of man, but the Word of God, and that works the works that God has sent us to do. Will He find that kind of faith? Would there be believers in our churches and in our homes that are living examples of true biblical faith? And by the way, let's remember this, not all these people in Hebrews 11 were living and serving God in the Bible Belt. I mean, Enoch was one, he was serving the Lord before the flood. Noah, he and his family were the only eight people that got on the ark.
Yeah.
And we can go on and on and on. These were men and women that showed great faith even during difficult and dark times. And God did marvelous things through them because God can do marvelous things.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just takes one. Just a few. Our God created the whole physical universe with nothing. He spoke it into existence. So let's not allow the day and time we live in, the politics of the day, the moral corruption and depravity of the day, the Hollywood scene of the day, and all the things that we see around us that would discourage us, rob us of our faith. Are we like that woman in Matthew chapter 11? Does it take just a little bit of not seeing results for us to say, well, God's not in this? Do we have to have immediate results? Does everything have to happen just exactly when we want it? Aren't there times it just requires people that won't faint, persevere, because we know what God wants to do? If Christ were to return today, would he find what he's looking for in our lives? Would he find true biblical faith, a faith that knows, a faith that sees, a faith that believes, a faith that works? The Bible believer, and I close with this statement, needs to take note of the things that God takes note of. True faith is something that catches our Savior's attention like very few things can do. So I end the message with a question that's a part of my sermon. Can Christ find what he's looking for in my life? Can he find faith in my life? Father, please bless in our time of invitation. Father, I pray that you would please raise up in our generation again believers that know some things, that see some things, that believe some things, that will work the works that you've sent us to work, where our focus is on you, not on the distractions around us and the discouraging dynamics around us and that which would cause us to doubt. There are all types of voices. There have always been voices. There have always been voices of skepticism. There have always been voices of denial of your existence and your ability to work and your love for us. But here we still are, 2019, a body of believers, saved the same way they got saved back in the day of Pentecost. Saved the same way people got saved during the earthly ministry of our Savior. Saved the same way they got saved at the church of Ephesus. And all these generations later, the Word of God is still here, it's still alive, it's still powerful, and you're still saving souls and working in the lives of men and women and boys and girls. Father, I pray you'd help that we would be able to be those kind of believers, that you would indeed find faith in our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.